Let's pray. Oh God, make sense of your words that we may take them in, digest them, and be nourished by them. May your words be helpful and meaningful and useful in the days ahead. May all that we say and do be glorifying to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We started off Lent talking about Jesus with the devil in the desert. And we talked about the three temptations. I still have some other thoughts I want to add to that because I couldn't just end it there. Last week we read from Luke chapter 4, but then I went back and I looked at Mark chapter 1. And I noticed that there's a difference between the account in Mark and the account that's in Luke. Let me read the one in Mark. He was in the wilderness 40 days, enduring temptations from Satan. He was with wild animals. And then this is the part that's different. And angels were ministering to his needs. What I find interesting in this passage is that the devil in the desert with Jesus and the animals and the angels are there as well, all together. The angels are close by and near. So as the devil is tormenting and testing Jesus, playing with his mind, the angels are also there by his side. They haven't abandoned him. They haven't left him alone in the wild. Now, angels are supposed to be encouraging. Angels are supposed to be nurturing and protecting and uplifting. When I thought about this, I thought, I can think of three examples in my life where I believe angels were there. The first one, I was in junior high, and my dad's death anniversary, we had a party that night, and so my mom said, we're running out of plates, paper plates, can you go and get some paper plates? So she sent my brother and I to go, and it was that night, and we lived on a hill, kind of a long, long hill, and we're on our bikes. Because I think it was maybe half a mile away. And my brother said to me, let's just go together. So we went on his bike. And he had one of those banana seats. How many of you know what a banana seat is on the bike? Yes, not too many of you though, huh? And then he had this sissy bar. How many of you know what sissy bar is? So my brother was in front, and I was back on the sissy bar, so we're going downhill. And my brother is one of those guys that doesn't take things, like, slow. I mean, he's, like, all out all the time, right? So it's dark, and we're going down this hill, and he's pedaling all out. And I'm in the back. We don't have any lights on our bike. There's no reflectors. So we're going down this hill, jamming really fast, and this car turns in front of us and hits us. We go flying. And we crash. And this is a time when, like, there's no helmets that are required. And so there was this, I had a hole in my pants, and I had a bloody elbow. But when I think about it, I could have broken bones. I could have had head trauma. I could have been a paraplegic, and I could have died. We both could have, but both of us only had stitches. I seriously believe that angels were watching over us. Second example. By this time, I'm an associate minister at this church, and part of my job was being the youth director. And so there were these particular youth who were kind of rebellious and didn't always join in. And so I would have trips with these youth, and there's like three boys. One time we decided to go hiking in the woods, and there's this swimming hole, and there's this waterfall. So we would go there, and so we would climb. If you look, like at the base of the cross, That's about as high as the little ledge was to jump off. So we would go there, several times in the spring. One time, though, one week, it rained really hard. And it wasn't, normally it's just a little creek, and then the waterfall is just a trickle. And so this time, after it rained hard, it was like a river that was going down. But we didn't think any big deal, so we went, and we climbed up. And so what you had to do was you climbed up about the height of the base of the cross, but you had to cross over the water to go to the higher spot so you can jump off. Normally it's about like knee deep, the water, so it's no problem. This time it was like chest high. We didn't think anything of it, so let's just go. So when we cross the river, I think it's like the size of the space in between the pews here. So we cross over, and one youth, he makes it. And then when I go, all of a sudden, I lose my footing. And before I know it, I'm like underwater. The other youth lost his footing, and he went over the falls. I am desperately grabbing the side of the rock face, and I managed to grab onto like this little piece of the edge, and I'm underwater, and my body's floating that way. And the other youth who made it suddenly reaches down and grabs my wrist to prevent me from going over the falls. Now, the other youth, fortunately, didn't land on a rock down there and made it, but we had like our stuff with us, and it all went. And I honestly believe that there were angels watching out for us. Again, who knows what would have happened? Third example, I was at the parsonage at this one church, and it had some weird fuses in the electrical, and the fuses burned out once in a while. So my brother was staying me one time, and he said, part of the house is not working. And I said, oh, it's no problem. It's one of those fuses. I had just gotten out of the shower, so I went to the fuse box, and I said, it's this one. And I grabbed it, and I felt this zinging going down my arm, and luckily I was able to let go. If not, I would have been a crispy critter. A crispy critter minister, can you imagine? Pastor dies because of being shocked. But I honestly believe it was linoleum, the floor. I honestly believe there were angels watching out for me. We ask ourselves, why angels come to our rescue? And I think it's because God has plans for us, and God is shaping us. Now, I want you to think of a time when you believe that an angel intervened in your life. Think of an instance, an experience, where you were rescued, or you were prevented from something happening, or you were saved. Think of that time. So we're going to do something different this morning. I'd like you to turn to a person and share with them how you believe that that angel was there. Now, why do we do this? It's because we give testimony of God's Spirit and God's angel at work in our lives. So think of that moment. Think of that experience. Turn to somebody. I'll just give you like a minute or two and share how you believe the angel was there. I wish I could hear all your stories about your angels in your life. I'm sure there's some pretty dramatic things, and for some of you, maybe not so dramatic, but I was reading this book the other day. It's called The Second Half of Your Life by Angelus Arian, and he says that in our journey, we go through descent and ascent. Descent, what he means by descent is that you're going downward or you're declining. And he says, in life we experience things like betrayal or depression or injustice or pride or insecurity or maybe a desire for revenge. And Arian says these moments are when we face our demons or maybe when we're dancing with the devil. Descent can be associated with underworld or hell or going through some struggle or chaos or confusion or even being lost. Lost in this labyrinth. In my case, the descent was making bad judgments. It was being careless or being reckless, and somehow making decisions that endanger ourselves or others. So descent is going down, is going below. It's like sinking. And it kind of drew my mind to the movie Les Miserables. You've all seen it, right? Some of you have seen it. Remember what the opening song is? Remember as the ocean is beating down and they're pulling the ship in and the ropes, remember what's the name of the star again? Jean Valjean. What's his real name? Hugh Jackman. What's that song he's singing when he's pulling? Look down, right? It's kind of descending. Look down, it's hotter than hell or something below, or look down, you will always be a slave, you're standing in your grave. There's this descent. But Arian says that not only do we descend, but we ascend, meaning that we emerge out of the depths of despair. We rise out of our lower being. We just get out of the ashes. There we experience God's grace, we experience redemption, we experience generosity and forgiveness. At times we experience the angels who lift us out of the darkness and depression, or even when we're close to death. What this scripture was saying was that if the animals and the devil are there, the angels are also there. And these are opposites, but they're there at the same time. There's a going down, but there's a rising up. There's the glass half empty, and then the glass half full. And the lesson is, even in the midst of the opposites of life, they are together. And Lent is not just the gloomy side, it's not just the dreary side, but it's the descent and the ascent. And it's also living in the brightness and living happy. It has to be balanced with that scripture from John 10:10 that says, where Jesus says, I have come that you have life and have it more abundantly. And in our 2 Corinthians passage, Paul is talking about the abundance of joy that we are to experience. He says, excel in faith, excel in knowledge, in eagerness and love, and excel in acts of kindness. And it's an abundant sharing, an abundant giving, celebrating of God's mercy. That is the fruit of the ascent. I think the community was having a hard time with each other, and they were arguing, and maybe there were individuals that were at odds with each other. And the lesson, what Paul is saying, your abundance will meet their need so that one day their abundance will meet your need. So if there's a problem you're having, the solution is share in your abundance. There's some kind of mutual expectation of abundance to be shared, and abundance is not to be kept. You can tell it's Oscar time because I keep quoting movies. Valjean receives forgiveness. And he is allowed to have freedom. And he extends it to Javert, even though Javert is hunting him down. And he doesn't give in, but he just continues to share the abundance. So Lent is, sure, it's the desert, it's the deprivation, it's the abstinence, but Lent and life is also the abundance. So let us live in the balance between those, and be encouraged as we go towards the journey of Holy Week. Let us keep those together and acknowledge that the angels are with us and God's grace doesn't leave us. Amen.